I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Jason, I might be a little strong here. I don't know. Am I too loud up there? Some of you, I need to wake up. Luke chapter 8, page 840 in your Red Pew Bible. I want to encourage you to follow along with this story. This is one of these awesome stories we have from our Bible that is just, there is just so much in it. And, you know, it's almost one of these things where when we're done, maybe we won't have the business meeting. Let's just discuss this passage of Scripture. It is just so awesome. Luke chapter 8. Not too long ago, Diana and I were watching a movie about two cousins who were taking a trip from New York City to Poland to visit the neighborhood home of their late grandmother, and then to kind of connect with their heritage. Now, these two guys, they grew up together, and they did a lot of things together like cousins do, but in later years, they kind of grew apart and went their own ways and would just get together every once in a while. But one of the cousins is very reserved and shy and pragmatic husband and father, and the other one was just the opposite. He was free-spirited, spontaneous, and an extrovert. He was an outspoken drifter. And so as the movie progressed and they were on this trip and interacting with one another and other people, I got really uncomfortable. And I told Diana, I just said, man, I don't like where this is going. And the reason why is because I identified with the introverted, shy, and reserved cousin. And then on the other hand, there was this free-spirited cousin who was acting and saying and doing things, and that would just cause the shy cousin to go, oh my gosh, what is he doing now, you know? And like, I have been there in that position. It's like, oh my gosh, what is he going to say next? What is he going to do next? You know, all these eye rolls. And you're kind of embarrassed sometimes. The other times when you're together, it's like, yeah, this is great. Then there's other times like, what? Just why? Why are you doing that? And I think this must have been how the disciples sometimes felt with Jesus. You had those moments where it's like, oh, this guy is awesome. He said, this is just incredible to be around him. Whoa, we're so lucky. And then there's other times where it's like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? I can't believe, you know. And so this is in our story today, I think, a little bit. And so let's look at it, verse 26, and you see if you can kind of pick that out of here. Let's pray before we start up, all right? Father, we thank you for this time of getting together and opening up your word. You have just blessed us. We have just blessed you with our praise and our singing. And now, Lord, you're going to turn around and bless us as we open up your word, the good news. And so, Lord, we pray that you would open up our eyes that we might understand and see stuff that we didn't before, that we might learn more things about you and more things about us, and we might learn how to become more like your son, Jesus Christ. That is what this is all about. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Jesus and the disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across from the Lake of Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. All right, let's just hold on there for a minute. You're in the boat with Jesus, and you just kind of glide into shore,
And there is this crazy, wild, long-haired, naked madman running at you. I think we'll dock down there. You know, we don't need it. This is just too weird, you know? This is just too weird for me. And then you watch Jesus get out of the boat and walk towards it. What is he doing? This is Jesus. You never know what to expect when you're around Jesus, do you? Verse 30. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. There's a conversation going on here. Can you imagine? You're watching this from the boat. Verse 32, a large herd of pigs was feeding there in the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. And when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. And when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let's just sit with that verse for a while. Okay? A beautiful, beautiful verse, isn't it? You can imagine this picture of Jesus and the disciples and this man just sitting around here, Jesus telling this guy, everything just kind of settles down, the screaming stopped, and Jesus tells the disciples, go get this guy some clothes. And Jesus begins to ask about the man's story, and he hears a story of how the man doesn't know what happened, but something just happened. He just began to lose his mind. And then he lost his family, and then his home, and his livelihood. Heartbreaking story. Heartbreaking story. But now, because of Jesus, this man is sitting here at peace. And Luke is revealing to us the amazing power of Jesus. Do you remember what we talked about last week? Last week we talked about Jesus calming the storm, right? The storm on the sea. This time, Jesus is calming the storm inside of our hearts and our minds. I love this verse 35. When they came to Jesus, they found the man who the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And I think in this verse 35, Luke is showing us three characteristics of someone who has been saved by Jesus. And that, first of all, is this. Number one is that they sit at Jesus' feet. That's a nice phrase for us. We understand when we talk about somebody sitting at someone's feet, it means we're saying that they are learning from them. We ought to be people who are sitting at Jesus' feet. We don't get saved, folks. I've said this before and numerous times in the past couple of weeks. We don't get saved just to go to heaven. We get saved so we can learn from Jesus. We sit at his feet and we learn from Jesus how to be complete and total human beings the way that God has created us to be. We are to be transformed into the character of Jesus. This is the third pillar of Beaver Dam, you may know. All right, we got four pillars out front. We have four pillars of Beaver Dam. The third pillar, we talk about making disciples and learning the ways of Jesus. This is one of the things that we are to be about. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Second thing, another thing Luke says, that this man was sitting there in his right mind. Here's the second mark of being saved, and that is that they adopt a new way of thinking. Adopt a new way of thinking. You know, out in our world and our society and culture, there's a certain way of thinking.
The most important thing out there is making money, right? Making money or gaining security in some form or fashion. Feeling secure, whether that's fitting in and becoming popular or whether that is through power. Sometimes we think that, what's the most important thing out there? Some people say pleasure. It's just go out and have fun and have a good time. It's the most important thing. But in all these cases, the world revolves around me, right? But one of the things that we learn when we sit at the feet of Jesus is that the world does not revolve around us, because Jesus gives us a whole different way of thinking. The most important thing in the kingdom of God is God. Then the second most important thing is loving other people. That's what's most important. We love, we serve, we give generously. We think of other people. We adopt a new way of thinking. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Yeah, we saved and we're going to go to heaven, but now our thinking needs to change too. We need to adopt a new way of thinking, and we do that by sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's how we start thinking differently. Finally, Luke tells us that this man was dressed. Previously, the man was naked, right? Running around like a crazy man, doing whatever. He was described as being unchained. There were no constraints. This guy just did whatever his mind led him to do. And this man's nakedness was symbolic of a shamelessness, kind of the way our society we often describe it as, right? There is a flaunting of all morals and absolutes that they're just nowadays there seems to be no boundaries. You do whatever you feel like it. You know, that's kind of the thing. Hey, man, it's my body. It's my life. I'm going to do whatever I feel like as long as I don't hurt anybody, right? It's the freedom to do whatever I want. It's this individualism that we kind of celebrate and cherish out in our culture. But in this, Luke shows us that the third mark of being saved is that they act differently than the rest of the world. We act differently than the rest of the world as followers of Jesus. Now, I need for us to be clear on this point. Because a lot of times when our tendency is, because of who we are, we tend to divide people into two camps, especially in our country at this point, right? Because politics is so heavy. It's just everywhere you go. And so there are two camps. There's my political party and their political party, right? And so right now, that's the way a lot of people look at our society, including Christians. There's us and them. There's our political party. There's their political party. It's what we see and watch and hear on news and social media, that the other side is doing this and they're doing that. And our thinking is, okay, I've been told that's not bad, that's evil, don't do that. Okay, just don't act like them because they're the bad political party. But our litmus test, hear me on this, our litmus test should never be comparing ourselves to our enemies or to the rest of the world. That shouldn't, who do we compare ourselves to?
Jesus.
We compare ourselves to Jesus. That's our litmus test. Jesus is our standard. We always compare our actions and our thinking and our desires to Jesus. We should always be asking, whatever situation I'm in, if Jesus were in my shoes, what would he do? What we know. That's why it's important to know the words of Jesus, right? And I think we should ask the same question to the people that we look up to as well. Our athletes and celebrities and politicians, the way that they, would Jesus act like that? And if not, let's not hold them in high esteem. Why? Because Jesus is our standard. That's who we look to. We are to act differently than the rest of the world. Not just differently than our enemies. Our standard is Jesus. And now, in all of this, Luke shows us the awesome power of Jesus. Just casting out demons. Calming the storm without, as we saw last week, calming the storm within in this week. But in this story, I think there's an even greater point that Luke wants to show us. Let's continue on in verse 36. Those who had seen it, meaning the caretakers of the pigs who ran back, told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You know, sometimes I read these passages of Scripture and I just go, wow, I can't believe people did that. They just tell Jesus, no, we don't want you. No thanks. I kind of get it though, right? I mean, you kind of got used to the crazy guy at the tombs. You learn how to deal with him. You got used to him. You learn how to live with him. You just accepted him. And all of a sudden, Crazy Joe is normal. How did that happen? That's crazy in itself, right? How do you explain that? You know, that's who we are. We like to have a reason for everything. There's a reason, you know, somehow, you know, so it's because of this. How does this happen? There's too many unknowns here. This is freaking me out. We can have people, this is freaking me out, man. Right? And then there's some business people that lost their income. Right? Because of the pigs. How are you going to explain that to the shareholders? Right? Jesus, I don't know what you did here, but you just destroyed my business. You got to go. You see, before, things had become normal and under control, and we knew what to expect. Now, Jesus comes into this area, and there's too many unknowns, man. Too many questions, what's going on. And so they ask Jesus to leave, which raises an interesting point for all of us. Have you ever asked Jesus to leave? Maybe Jesus challenged you in a certain area of your life. You know, things were going along fine, and all of a sudden somebody asked you to do something, and it was like too much out of your comfort zone. It was like, yeah, I know I should, but I'm not there yet. No, I'm too uncomfortable. Too upsetting. And sometimes we prefer just to have the status quo. Or like I always say, we like our ducks in a row, don't we? But sometimes Jesus comes into our life and those ducks start going everywhere and it freaks us out. And so what do? We tell Jesus, I don't want to deal with this, right? Just leave. Just leave. There's one thing about Jesus. Jesus comes into your life. And I'm not talking about when you get saved. I'm talking about as you grow as a follower of Jesus. And you're serious. It's like, you know, I want to go deeper with Jesus. And you invite Jesus deeper into your life. He is going to disrupt your life. And there are going to be times where you just say, I just wish you'd leave. You know what's amazing in this story? Is that Jesus does. He doesn't plead with the people. He doesn't reason with them. Oh, no, wait. We're getting off on the wrong foot here. Do you have anybody that's sick at home? I can heal. He doesn't try and convince them that he can do good. Come on, just give me a shot. Give me another shot, right? There's another lesson that if we don't want Jesus around, he's okay. He gets back in the boat. Which again, it talks about Jesus is not going to force himself on us. Yeah, it is our life. And sometimes he just says, okay. But our guy in the story, he begs Jesus, I want to, please let me go with you. Please. He gets down on his knees and he's begging, it says. He is begging. He wants to go with Jesus. Why is he begging so much? Because he's afraid too. He's afraid too. These people have just rejected Jesus. What are they going to do to him? He's still not going to fit in. How are people going to look at him? There's Crazy Joe. Right? He's got a past that he's not too proud of, is he? He's always going to have that hanging around him. And people are always going to associate with him that past. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, you're Crazy Joe. Oh. Right? You're the guy. Yeah, you're the guy. It's because of you that I lost my pig business. Everybody's upset. So he begs to go with Jesus. And let's face it. Let's face it. It's usually easier and less fearful to hang out with other Christians than to go out into the world where people don't know and appreciate Jesus like we do. We get that. So Jesus says, no, you can't follow me. Which is amazing. One of the times in the Bible where Jesus tells people, don't follow me. Usually it's follow me. Instead, he says in verse 39, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Now this could be the end of the story, right? That could just be the end of the story. And, you know, the man goes back and puts together his life, whatever. But Luke adds this last verse. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The guy, which, you know, I always look, put myself in the story. You know, I go to Jesus, please let me go with you, let me go with you. No, you stay here. Okay. You know, and I pout. I want to hang out with Jesus. I want to hang out with that guy. This guy does not pout, right? What's he do? He heads back to town, but he goes back not ashamed of his past because he's been delivered by this awesome guy, Jesus. He's got a new life. He's got a new beginning. And so what does he do? He toughens it out. And he does not care what people think about him or about Jesus or about his past. He's going to obey. And Luke shows us how people who have been saved and touched by Jesus are to respond now as they go out into the world. And that first one is this, is that they have a child of God, new creation mindset. This guy has a child of God, new creation mindset. He's a totally different person than he was before because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I mean, that is awesome, isn't it? Folks, one of the biggest tools and one of the best tools in Satan's toolbox is your past. That even as a Christian, Satan can still go to your past as a believer and use that against you and point out your past failures and screw-ups and letdowns and all the times you said, well, you said you were going to be a follower, you were going to be a better follower of Jesus. You said you were going to do this. You said you were going to do this. Look at you. So don't fool yourself. That's what Satan's telling us all the time. Don't fool yourself. Okay? He will constantly remind you of how big a failure you are in the kingdom of God. Folks, that is not how Jesus sees you. You are a new creation. And we must live as forgiven, redeemed, new creation people. I pray that you wake up every morning thinking about that. Can I get an amen for that? Right? That's who we are. That's who we are. That cannot be taken away. You wake up in the morning thinking of that. Another thing that this guy does is he tells people how much Jesus had done for him. The second thing that saved people do is this. They display a Christ-like attitude. I imagine this guy goes walking into town, you know, and it's almost like he's parting the Red Sea. People are like, oh my gosh, that's Crazy Joe. Oh my gosh. And he's just got this biggest smile on his face, like he won $1 million, right? It's just amazing. He's joyful. He's incredibly grateful. He is hopeful. He is bold because he's looking at anybody you will talk to. People, they're leaving, right? Because he knows now. He now knows there's a God that he's met personally. I don't see him complaining. Well, nobody's talking to me. Nobody will talk to me anymore. Right? Even though people are avoiding him, people are looking funny at him, people don't understand him. Instead, you know what he does? I'll bet he is patient and kind and loving and gentle and looking for opportunities to share with anybody who will listen about just what happened in his life. This guy's life has been radically changed by Jesus, and he's got a whole new attitude and a whole new outlook on life. Folks, we are forgiven. We are children of God. Jesus is always with us. Hello?
Amen.
We've got the power of the Holy Spirit within us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. Hello?
Amen.
Our salvation is secure. What do we have on earth to complain about? Saved people display Christ-like attitudes wherever they go. Wherever they go. Finally, our guy Luke, we read, goes all over town, Luke tells us, telling people about Jesus. I'm sure he heads back to his family, his friends, his acquaintances, people maybe he doesn't know really well, you know, that don't know who he is yet, don't know, oh, you're Crazy Joe. You know what? This guy has a new role to play in his community. He is an ambassador for Jesus. Which leads to point number three about people who have been touched and saved by Jesus. They have a kingdom purpose. We have a kingdom purpose. Our purpose is not just to sit around and wait until we die and go to heaven. It's not just to make as much money as we can so that when we retire or then we are retired and we travel and we go places and we have fun. Our purpose isn't just to pop into church every once in a while, throw some money in the baskets. No, our purpose is to tell people about this guy Jesus. And how much he has done. And we share his love with other people. We live like kingdom people out in the world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal to the rest of the world through us. No matter what job you have. No matter if you are retired, no matter where you are living, this is your purpose. You have a kingdom purpose. Luke makes two big points in this story. Number one, this guy Jesus is awesome. That comes out loud and clear. Second point is this. Those who have had an encounter with Jesus tell others about him. How might you do that this week? Invite somebody to church. Offer to go pray with them. You know they're going through a hard time. Maybe you do something for your neighbor, your friend. Maybe you are more intentional in the relationships that you build. How might you do that this week? Would you bow your heads with me, please? We all agree in here that Jesus is awesome. The second point we struggle on a little bit. But in this time of silence, what I want you to think about is I just want you to allow God to show you how you might tell someone or show someone this week about what God has done in your life. How might you do that this week? Father God, we thank you for Jesus because he is awesome. Lord, this week, may this be a turning point for us. Would you give us courage and strength to be ambassadors for Jesus, like this man was? Sometimes we just get settled in. We get used to the status quo of just living out our life, including living out our Christian life. But Lord, we pray that you would just open up our eyes and give us courage and strength to share with our neighbors, with our family, with our friends, with the people that we interact with. Lord, show us how we might do this. And we ask this with the power of the Holy Spirit behind us. We're not going out alone. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.